Father, I love you. Heavenly Father, I love you today, and I'm so glad to be in this house. I'm so glad for your grace and your mercy and your tender loving kindness. We love you with all of our spirit, our soul, our mind, and our body. We're grateful for the power of the Holy Ghost that's working right now within us. I thank you, Father God, for those that are going to be listening, that you would bless them with this word and challenge them with this word and bring them to a closer relationship with you. Father, for the lost, that they would be born again. For the backslidden, Father, they would be on fire again. And for the blind, that they would see. Father, we love you, and we ask for the Holy Spirit to come transcend time and dwell among us in a mighty way. We bless you in that name that's above every name. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Well, it's good to be with you. I bless everybody on the media platforms that will be listening today or reading this particular word. We're so grateful for the influence that God is giving us. We don't take it lightly. We're very humbled by it. And we just say, Lord, do what you want to do, because I'll say whatever you tell me to say. And so if he wants to do that, then we'll just do it. Amen. I love everybody, and I appreciate this church. I appreciate your love for Pastor Jennifer and I and the support of the vision. It's going to get bigger and better as we go forward, and you're going to see greater things that God has prepared for us. But until then, we have work to do, and during that process, we have work to do. And the end is not yet. We're in the beginnings of them, but we're not there yet. And so that's why I can say with great faith that we continue to march forward, we continue to build, we continue to do what God's told us to do, even when it doesn't look so well outside the four walls. How many all know we live in the kingdom for such a time as this? Let me give you a specific word the Lord spoke to me. Again, this is during my prayer time, and I present it to you and to the body of Christ. He said, global warming is increasing upon the earth, and the source is not the sun, but it's the sin of men. Man and his heart is unraveling and revealing his true character. A war is raging between his soul and eternity, my will and his. Yet the church sits idly by in this war, choosing to participate rather than rescue these lost souls. The hourglass reveals the time reflected and recorded within my word, for few read it to see the time in which they live. Many refuse to hear the cry of the watchmen, my prophets and my seers. They are blinded by sin, bound by iniquity, and many will perish in their folly. The hour draws near, says your God, the hour of my revelation to the earth. I will not be mocked. What has been written will be revealed. Very powerful word from the Lord this morning. And I believe as I preach this message to you, it will leave an indelible mark upon everybody that hears it. And hopefully it will bring forth a seed of revival within you to begin to pray for the nations of the world and to begin to chase after God like never before. I believe that one of the reasons that revival does not penetrate and permeate the body of Christ is because we don't have hunger for him. We don't thirst after his presence. We have to be drawn into church. We have to be wooed into praise and worship when it should be our first heart, our first thought, our first action is to go after God because we're hungry for him. I don't know about you, but if somebody rescued me from a burning vehicle or from some type of disaster, I would forever be indebted to them. How come we have been rescued from hell and the fires thereof, and we seem so cold and callous to the one who rescued us? I don't understand that. But the Lord spoke this word to me that I just read to you, and the title of this message is called Global Warming. And that's what he spoke to me. He said, global warming. And I'm like, okay, I don't really believe in global warming. I'm sorry there, Al Gore. But as you saw in the word, it's not the natural aspects of global warming or the science thereof or junk science, as people say, but it is the sin of humanity that's causing the world to get hotter and hotter, not in temperature, but in madness and insanity. And my job this morning is to paint a perfectly prophetic picture drawn from the Word of God, not the opinions of a man or words from headquarters somewhere down the road, but from the Father himself so that you and I would begin to recognize and realize the hour that we're living in. And the truth of your knowledge of the hour we're living in is the actions you take thereafter. People come in the church and all the time, and remember, I call them the bobblehead Christians. I'm going to make a lot of money on the doll. We're going to put it in the back of everybody's Impala. Taco Bell, y'all remember that? Yeah, Taco Bell. And that's the mindset of the Christian people when you go in the church and you preach a message and they're like, yeah. And then when they leave the church, they're like, no. And they don't do what the preacher says or what God has spoken to them. And the result is, here we are in America. So global warming, and he gave me Jeremiah chapter 12. Go there. Y'all think I make this stuff up, and I do not. Trust me, believe me. My wife, my family is a witness. I do not do that. I just hear what he says and preach what he tells me to do. But Jeremiah chapter 12, we're going to read about this. We're going to preach today about global warming. Again, it's not about the atmosphere. It's not about chemtrails. It's not about science. It's not about political advancements of United Nations laws and blah and all this stuff going on. This is about the heart and the condition of the church, not only in America, but around the world. It's not just the church, it's politicians, it's people, it's humanity. And I want to preach this to you the best that I possibly can. Are you in Jeremiah just yet? Jeremiah chapter 1. First of all, tell me that you love me. Then don't get mad, all right? Watch this. Verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are they happy that deal very treacherously? So Jeremiah begins this with a complaint. If you know anything about Jeremiah, he was the prophet that was always called to get into a position publicly that nobody else wanted to. He just stood up and said what God wanted him to say, and he found himself in all kinds of adverse situations and didn't have a whole lot of friends. Anybody ever been to Ignited Church? But the reality is, God was a friend of Jeremiah, and that's all that matters. And if God be for you, who could ever be against you? And so we're going to watch a prophetic complaint that he makes here. He complains to God. And out of this, I want to pull the conditions of the nations out of this chapter and the conditions of the church, the condition of America, the condition of our heart. So Jeremiah begins and he starts complaining. And he says, why? Or where are the judgments? What is going on here? I'm watching all these things happen around me, but yet I don't see them receiving their recompense, their reward, their payment. Have you ever wondered that as a Christian sometimes? Not that your heart is evil, but you sit there and you look across the landscape of the nation and the landscape of the nations, and you see all the debaucheries and the craziness that goes on in the world, and you sit there and you say, God, what in the world's going on? Come on, now people can do all kinds of crazy stuff and they get rewarded for it. They write the stupidest songs and it goes gold. I did better in the shower singing a song. Is anybody here today? And all the stuff that goes on and the people who are living this type of lifestyle, and you find out now they're not making millions, but they're in the billions. And so Jeremiah was at this place. He said, God, I don't understand. I heard all the words. I spoke all the words. I said, this is what you told me to do. I'm watching all of this transpire before me, and you haven't even dealt with them yet. I felt like that before. I felt like that when I look through the news and I see the craziness. And not that I want judgment to happen for anybody. I want all men to be born again. I want everybody to have a chance like I had, the second, the third, the fourth, the 50th chance that I had. But the reality is, you sit and you look and you say, God, what's up? What is going on? Everybody say, God has a plan. Verse 2. Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit, And thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. In other words, God, you've allowed them to prosper. Jeremiah is saying, I'm watching this take place, and you've planted it, because all life comes from God. All the blessings of the earth comes through his mighty, benevolent creation, and man partakes of it. And man thinks because he's prosperous and because he's lofty that God is with him. But that's not the sign of true prosperity and true peace. But people are confused and they think, well, wealth and riches and things means that God is for me. No, there's a whole lot of pagans and a whole lot of heathens that have more stuff than you do. The reality is peace with God is the desire of a heart and proof of prosperity. But he said, you planted them. They have taken root and they've grown and they have lip service, but their heart is so far from you. It seems that all is well. The sinner is prospering. When you sit and you listen to messages of the prophetic community, and we speak of what's going on in the nations of the world, you see another side to the coin, and you look and you think, man, the sinner is really prospering. Wow, look at the stock market, it's really shooting higher. Look at this person and his support of alternate lifestyles and wrong things and all these that are against God, and they're prospering. And like Jeremiah, we sit and we say, God, what's up with that? They don't even love you. They just give you lip service. You look across our churches and they're preaching all kinds of craziness and doctrines of devils and philosophies of men, yet they're building multi-million dollar buildings. Yet they're increasing more and more. And Jeremiah says, I don't get this. I don't understand this. Watch this in verse 3. But thou, O Lord, knowest me, that thou hast seen me and tried mine heart towards you. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the days of slaughter. Jeremiah says, God, you know my heart. And what my heart is saying to you is this, that God, I would rather you deal with the sinner in order to save the nation. It wasn't that Jeremiah was a vigilante and he was looking to destroy everybody. Jeremiah was saying, God, I would rather you deal with the few black sheep. I'd rather you deal with the few sinners. I'd rather you deal with these things in order to save Israel, in order to bring forth a revival and a reformation to your people. You know, our prayer should be this, that God, I had enough of the sin of the nation and the sins of the world. I'm not asking you to take them out. I'm asking for them to be born again. I'm asking, oh God, to take them out of their sin. I'm asking, oh God, would you bring them to the foot of the cross and let the blood of Jesus wash them clean? The problem with the church today is we don't pray that way. We participate with the world and we try to become their friends and their buddies. I want you to know that Pentecost has never been popular. The church has really never been popular. If you love God and holiness and righteousness, you will be at odds with the world. And I'd rather be at odds with the world than be at odds with God. So the prophet said, I had enough. I'd rather you deal with them, deal with the sin. And sometimes I feel that should be our prayer, that God, just deal with the sin of our nation in order that there can be some type of preservation, some type of salvation for the future generations. I've preached it from this pulpit many times. If the condition of our current world is a reflection of our future generation, we are in trouble. What are we leaving the generations to come? What are we leaving inside the houses of God? What are we given as a heritage concerning the Bible and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God? What are we producing in our future leaders within the house of God? By what I see, we're not leaving very much. We're not leaving much of holiness. We're not leaving much of righteousness. We're not leaving much of pure preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What we're leaving is diversity. What we're leaving is inclusionism. What we're leaving is a doctrine of devil type of ministry and gospel to the future generations. Not all, but many churches preach like the world and live like it. So Jeremiah, He would sound as though he's frustrated, and maybe he is. But Jeremiah is pleading. He's saying to God, I don't understand this. I'm watching this thing take place right before my very eyes, and I'm not seeing the fulfillment of what you have desired. Verse 4. How long shall the land mourn? Jeremiah says, how long, God? How long do we have to continue to see the land mourn for the sin and degradation that's upon it? How much longer do we in America have to see the blood of young babies who have been aborted in our nation to the tune of nearly 60 million, over 300 million worldwide? When are we going to say, God, how much longer will the land be able to endure this? And the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. I don't know if you've noticed this, but the world is convulsing the earth. Nature is convulsing against the inhabitants of this earth. We're watching it take place. The judgments of natural disasters, they're not just judgments from God. They're judgments of sin because the world, it is mourning. The earth is mourning because of humanity. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see out our end, our last end. In other words, he doesn't see, and I don't see, and everybody is blinded to the reality of judgment and to the end. And so we just go on and act like everything's just fine and everything's wonderful. How many of y'all have family members that act that way? It's just another day, man. It's just another tick in the old stock market. It's just another day of bliss. It's another weekend that I get paid. Come on, somebody. And everything goes on like it's all right. And so Jeremiah, I give you these first four scriptures, the first four verses. He's complaining. He's in a prophetic whirlwind, if you will. He's trying to understand. He's trying to get his pulse back on God. I've declared what you told me to do, and I don't quite understand this. But look at verse 5 as we begin now to see God's response. Let me tell you something. The response and the view that you must have in this hour is not your local television reporter, not somebody on a national scene. You should be listening and hearing the voice of God, finding out what he has to say and his viewpoint from the word. Come on, somebody, even preachers, you need to back up the word of God. You need to challenge your pastor. You need to make sure it is written in the word of God, including this one right here. Amen. Watch this. Verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? So God's response to him was, Jeremiah, if this has frustrated you and messed you up, just these little things that you're watching and beholding in your nation, these little footmen, these little devils, these little doctrines of devils, these little issues that go on, he said, what are you going to do when the big stuff takes place? What are you going to do when the horsemen show up? What are you going to do when the stock market falls? What are you going to do when the economy crashes? What are you going to do when an alien army invades your nation? What are you going to do when law turns against Christianity in America? What are you going to do, Jeremiah? So though Jeremiah's complaint was big and it was loud, God's response was very sobering. And I have to declare this to the Church of America. What will you do when things become much worse than they are today? What will you do when racial tensions in America spill out into the streets greater than they already have over the past few years? What will you do? Whose side will you be on? Will you be on the side of red, which is the blood of the Lamb, or black or white, or any other color? Somebody better help me. I'm about to really preach First Lady's back, and I'm ready. Come on now. I watch it with churches and people. They get all upset over little things. And I don't make fun of your little things. You got trouble paying your light bill or something like that. To you, that's big. And I understand that. But what are we going to do when it's something bigger than somebody taking your seat at church? What are you going to do whenever they throw somebody in jail for preaching the gospel or some other crazy thing that is coming down the road? What will you do? And so God begins to address this, and he begins to give Jeremiah a prophetic adjustment. And I think we need that adjustment this morning. Watch this. And he said, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, he said, they wearied thee, then how will you do in the swelling of Jordan? Look at that one more time with me. He said, if you're in the land of peace, in which you trust, and you trust it, and you have confidence, and you're in that place, if that wearied you, what are you going to do when the Jordan swells? Now, the Jordan swelled during the time of harvest. Now, there's two prophetic things to see here. Number one, the church isn't ready for harvest. We're not ready for harvest because our churches aren't clean. Somebody better help me. You don't bring your baby home from the hospital to a pigsty. You don't put them in a crate. You put them in a cradle. Come on, somebody. Any man that knows about having a baby brought home, we had to paint everything. Clean the carpet. Sanitize everything. Put in them little stupid, but no, not the door latches, but the thing inside the electrical plug. And anyway, I couldn't even get out of the crib, but I had to have them in the room. You know, the kind that breaks your nail when you try to get it back out. Who was the crazy person that invented that? I mean, the thing can't even see straight. And we're doing all kinds of stuff, preparing for the child. But the point is this, we're not ready for the revival. We're not ready for the harvest. We don't have preachers who can take care of the children. We don't have preachers who can be midwives. We don't have the place sanctified. We don't have the place cleansed. We don't have the right food and nourishment. We don't have the right shelter and protection. How could we be ready for revival? He said, when the Jordan began to swell, he said that was harvest time, but it also caused the beasts that were upon the banks to invade the community in which the Jordan was surrounded with. I'm telling you something prophetic here. We're not ready for what is coming. We're not ready for the revival. We're not ready for the harvest, and we're not ready for the horrors that will take place when the beasts begin to come through our city streets and begin to invade this nation in a greater way. And if you really would get your head out of the place the sun don't shine, you would look around and see we're living in a world that is messed up, it's jacked up, it's crazy, it's coming apart at the seams. People are insane. And that's just in the church. Smile, look at your neighbor. I told you Pastor Jen's home, man. I finally got me some real food. Is anybody here? He said, you're living in a land of peace, per se. You're putting your trust, but what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? Jeremiah, I know these things are bad, son, and I know you don't like them because you've been prophesying, you've been running around with dirty old underwear, you've been doing everything I told you to do, and you're not seeing the things you thought you would see, but God says, hold on, I will deal with them when I'm ready. But the point of the matter is, Jeremiah, you're not ready for what I'm about to do. You're not ready, Church of America. You're not ready, Mr. Christian around the world. You're not ready for this world to come apart at the seams as it already is. I don't know where some of you get your news reports, probably from the Penny Saver or Pork Chop, the Swap Shop. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some crazy stuff taking place in this world. And I'm going to get to it if you'll tolerate me for another couple hours. I'm ready. Verse 6. For even thy brethren of the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. I'm going to tell you something. Persecution's coming to the house of God. There will be blood on the altar. There's going to be persecution like you never thought of, and it will be by your own neighbor. It'll be by your own church people who think they do God a service. It's coming. You better know who labors among you. You better pray for the saints. Better watch, elder. I had to throw that in there. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. In other words, Jeremiah, just watch your back, son. You better watch who you make allegiance with. Verse 7, I have forsaken my house. This is going to be hard for some folk to hear this morning, but I'm just going to tell you like it is. Is that okay? I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul unto the hand of her enemies. I believe that there are people who are marked for blessings, and I also believe that there are people marked for cursings. I believe there are people who walk in the favor of God because they love God. And I also believe there are those who are hypocritical sitting in the churches today that act like they're religious on one side, but on the other, they're full of dead men bones, living like a devil, cursing like a sailor, drinking like a sailor, everything else, living like they want to live. And they think everything is just old fine and old good with me, old jolly God in heaven. And he's winking and looking the other way. But I want you to know something. He is a holy God. He keeps perfect records. He knows exactly the heart and the condition of every man sitting here. If he knows every hair upon your head and every one that fell out, he knows every thought you're thinking, the meditations of your heart. He would know exactly what you would do if you were alone and left to yourself. Is anybody here today? Because the true character of a man or woman is only discovered when nobody's around. You look real cute in church, but I don't know who you are when you walk out of these doors and head off this property. I don't even want to think about it. Some of y'all just won't be honest. Some of y'all want to hide behind the facade of religiosity and the church. The church can't cover you. I can't cover you. Your relationship with me can't cover you. Your relationship with the church can't cover you. You must be covered in the blood of Jesus. You must be washed in that everlasting blood. You must be in a fresh relationship with God. You must make a commitment with your heart that, God, I will serve you and serve nobody else. But see, we live in a fantasy land in America. The church is being deceived. The church is walking in a dreamland. And we think that all of a sudden we're going to have a magic wand waved from the White House and waved from courthouses and waved from all political places. And everything just becomes fine. I want you to know something. Revival cannot, will not, and does not come from the White House. It comes from the church house. It don't come from any place of politics. It comes from the place of prophetic. It don't come out of the Constitution. It comes out of the covenant of God. It doesn't come out of this relationship or that relationship. It comes out of a relationship with God. That's hunger. Hunger and your thirst for God. I'm sorry, Mr. Trump is not going to wave a magical wand and everything's going to be wonderful in Kansas. We're going to click our heels and we're going to be in revival. Honey, it's not going to come that way. It will come through blood, sweat, and tears. It will come from a church that gives birth. I don't know of anybody giving birth that took a nap doing it. You ladies that have given baby, you know what I'm talking about. My wife wanted to pull out every hair I did have. Come in that room and said, what are you doing in here? Nothing. Just want to see if you wanted a Dorito. Sugar bug. It's not sterile. Revival is not sterile. Revival is not something that's clean. Giving birth is something that's not clean. It's rough. It's tough. It's life-threatening. We're not going to have revival because of political correctness. We're not going to have revival through legislation. You can't legislate love. You can't legislate a white man to love a black person. You can't legislate a black person to love a white person. You can't legislate love. You can't do it. If you could, then all the laws on the books would make us perfect and we wouldn't be killing everybody. And Chicago would be Disneyland. For I've forsaken my house. I've left my heritage. I've given my dearly beloved of my soul into the hands of the enemies. I believe that whatsoever man sows, he's going to reap someday. If a preacher's playing behind the pulpit and he's a playboy on Saturday, honey, there's coming a day that he will be exposed. I promise you. You can't do it. You can't live like the devil on Saturday, preach like an angel on Sunday, and think you're going to get away with it on Monday. No, you'll be paid someday. Everything that's been hidden will be exposed. Now he said here, I have forsaken my house. The word there, forsaken, means to loose. In other words, if there are those who are bent, let me get up here now, Rue, and get real close with you. I'm not afraid of you now. He said, I'm going to loose you. In other words, there are people who are so bent within their heart to sin. There are people that are so convinced they're getting away with their religiosity. You know that mask you're wearing right now, the one you got in your glove department when you came in. Oh, come on, somebody. That's the Wednesday, Sunday mask. You put that one on when you come in the house, everybody sees how holy you are. Y'all ain't helping me. And then you put the other one, the world one, on for when you go into Walmart and you got your swag. You got your swag, you got your sway, you got your move, you got your groove, you with the world. Come on, somebody, you know what I'm talking about. Until you see the preacher and they say, well, hey, praise the Lord, amen. Touchdown for Jesus. I wasn't looking at that. No, that's somebody else. Some devil put that there. Y'all don't know, I've been doing this a long time. Everybody get real holy. Holy, holy, holy. He said, I've loosed them. I've turned them over. I've allowed them to do what you want to do. Listen, there's some folks that let me just say this very plainly. There's some churches, some folks you don't even need to pray about because they're not going to turn. They're not going to change. They're not going to go the way of righteousness. They will continue to go because they're bent. They're fixed towards it. They want to be that way. But we have this mindset, this fantasy that everything's going to be well. But honey, it's not going to be well because there's many that God says, listen, I've loosed them. I've allowed them to do what they want to do. I've allowed them to go towards that sin and degradation. There's preachers that hear me, and there's preachers that have been told and been warned, and they will not change. They will refuse to change. They're not going to because they believe their way is right. And see, we don't believe today that God will put Ichabod on the church today, 1 Samuel 4:21. We don't believe that the glory will leave somewhere because we drive by and we say, wow, there's cars and there's people inside there and the person's preaching and he's on media platforms and he's doing all these different things. God will still use the person to get his point across and to do his bidding. But there are many whose hearts are totally bent towards sin and they won't change. I'm not telling you who and who not to pray for. I'm just telling you there are times when God says, I'm done. I've loosed them because they want to sin. Is anybody here today? It's the reality of the word, and I can give you scripture after scripture. I can prove to you in the word of God and show you in the word of God the reality of these things. God said in Romans that they want a reprobate mind. He said, I turned them over. They didn't want to change. They want to continue in their lasciviousness. They want to continue in their unrighteousness. And God says, guess what? I'm going to give you over to a reprobate mind. I'm going to allow you to live in that sin, in that deceit. I'm afraid that many in the church today have gone to that crossroads. They've gone over to that place where they don't care. They're right. They stand up with all these different sects of society and all divisions of society that are contrary and counterculture to the Word of God. And they stand and say, I don't care what the Word says. I believe this is right, and this is my generation, and I stand and I march with this group or that group when they are opposed to God and His Word. The Bible clearly says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said that many will come to Him in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we cast out devils? Haven't we done many mighty things in Thy name? Haven't we built great churches? Haven't we been across the landscape of media and every form and fashion available? Haven't we done all these great things in our communities? And Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, I don't know how you can translate that and how you can misunderstand that and how you can conveniently pass that over in Scripture, but the reality is this, it's there, we have to deal with it, and if Jesus knew that something was going to be like that and a generation was going to be like that in the future, He would have left it in the Scriptures, and it was, and He did. In other words, it's a reality. There will be those that did all these things, but yet lose their souls. No, we don't believe that anymore in America, because this is our best day. We've got our preachers who are polished philosophers and psychologists. I'm not your psychologist, because by the time you got done talking with me, you think you're crazy. Crazier. I'm the last person a psychologist wants to speak to. I'll have him on the couch crying. I'll be like, don't you get in this rabbit cage. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The other, you're just denying. He says, look at this. He said, I've forsaken mine house. It's not that God forsaken. They forsook Him, and He loosed them. He said, go ahead, if that's what you want to do. The father looked at the prodigal son and said, he said, listen, is that what you want to go to? You want to go ahead and go? Go ahead and go. Here, I'll give you your money. I'll give you an inheritance. Go ahead and go. And the prodigal son backslid before he ever left the father's house. There's more backsliding people inside the church than there are outside the church. Backslidden, far from God, hiding inside the cathedrals of God. Watch this. I've given them over, my dearly beloved. The love of the Father never ends. The love of the Father is eternity. It's forever. But He says, I've given them over to the enemies. I've given them over. The Bible clearly states that God will allow a man to come to the end of his own self and his own rope out of His sovereignty and out of His love. Verse 8, mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. Watch this. It crieth out against one. Against me, therefore have I hated it. In other words, he said, they cry out to me, they complain against me, they come against me, they rage against me. You say, what does that mean? It means that when we stand up and preach, listen to me clearly, when we stand up and preach and we preach the opposite of the Word of God, we rage against God and His truth. You don't have to shake your fist when you go to church against God. Just letting your preacher preach to you some type of pablum and some type of doctrines of devil and some type of humanistic gospel of self-help thought is causing us to rage against God. Does anybody see this? And we just say, oh, it's a little slip of the doctrine. Well, that's just how my pastor feels. And, well, you know, God's working on him. No, honey, we're raging against God when we don't preach truth. We're raging against God when we embrace the homosexual and lesbian lifestyle. We rage against God when we allow the adulterer and the adulteress to do what they want to do in the house of God, and we say nothing about it. We rage against God. And very few people would have the guts and the audacity to raise their fist to heaven. But we do it every single Sunday. We do it when we sing songs about ourselves and not about how holy He is. We have faith in our own faith instead of having faith in God. We talk about how victorious and how glorious we are without recognizing the cross or the blood of the Lamb or the sacrificial price that He paid. We're the church of self. We're indulgent of our own self. Mine heritage is unto me like a lion in the forest. It crieth against me, therefore I have hated it. The word hated in context there is not the same as we would see in the word for hatred as in malice, but it means less favored. That's why we don't have favor in America. That's why the church doesn't have favor in politics. We don't have favor in our nation, and we don't have favor around the world because we rage against God. We're in contempt in the courts of God. We have stood up when we're told to be silent before His courts and say, we will preach what we want to preach. We'll live any way we want to live. This is my body. This is my life. And you just get out of my way. It's the truth, and you know it. It's the truth of the attitude of the American church today. We rage against God the way we preach the gospel. And we have less favor. The Bible says that whenever our ways are pleasing to God, we'll have favor with God. We'll have favor with man. Even our enemies will be at peace with us. Wish I had somebody here in this Catholic monastery. I'm going to wear my priest thing, my little priest tie thing. Maybe that'll snap you into holiness. I remember the first time I wore that tie, what was that friar tuck thing? Y'all eyes about popped out. We was in that little storefront. I had a black shirt on. I turned around. I was able to stick it in real quick and turn back around. Everybody's like, the Pope is here. The Pope of Livonia. Imagine that. I'm going to pull it off on you. I don't know how everybody else is going to react around the world, but we're going to do it. Watch this now. This is just my introduction. Now I'm going to preach to you. Verse 9. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. Oh, wow, that's sweet, Lord. That's, wow, I feel good. A speckled bird. No, honey. Read the Bible. Watch this. My heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come, you assemble at all the beasts of the field and come to devour. A speckled bird. Man, that's real pretty and nice. But here's the prophetic reality that we don't see and we don't understand. The word speckled bird means colorful. And the Church of Jesus Christ today is the rainbow church, where we're colorful in all of our ways. Yeah, we're colorful. We're like the speckled bird. God says, I see you, and you're colorful, and you're speckled, and you have all kinds of paintings and all kinds of blending of colors within you. And we think that's a compliment from God. When the reality is, this is what He's saying. He said, you're a speckled bird. You have all kinds of diversity within you. You have all kinds of colors and issues of society and paganism and humanism. You have all kinds of things that are brought into the mosaic of my picture, of my design of what the gospel says the church should look like. But you desire to go the way of the world, and you have become speckled. In other words, you go into the church and you got a homosexual that's playing on the organ. Listen, I'm not talking about somebody who's struggling. Let me just make something clear. I'm not talking about the person struggling in themselves. I'm talking about blatant sin. Let me just make that clear for everybody listening. I love everybody, and everybody can be saved and delivered. But the reality is, we live in a society today, especially the church culture, where we don't want to offend nobody. We want everybody to do what they want to do. So we're going to go ahead and let Lefty play on the piano. Because we don't want to offend nobody. But everybody in the house knows they're struggling. Help me now. We're speckled. We allow pedophilia to be in the children's ministry, knowing they've had issues in the past, but we don't want nobody to be offended, so we're going to send Johnny on back. We're just going to allow him to go back because, you know, we really don't want to rock the boat. We put people in leadership. We have elders and people that have money that are living in adulterous situations that are full of pornography and full of fornication. We're a speckled bird. But it's fine because that's the way the United States of America is. We're supposed to be diverse. We're supposed to embrace everybody. Honey, I'll embrace everybody, but you're not going to be on staff and you ain't going to be in position. And I ain't going to give you the keys to the church and an opportunity to molest the young ones. Come on, somebody. Or to mess up anything else that God is doing so that I can be politically correct with you. We're a speckled church, a speckled bird. Full of sin and degradation, full of unrighteousness. We know sin abounds, but we embrace it. We allow songs to be sung that don't glorify God, with outfits that are more reserved for a Italian fashion show or strip club than the house of God. Come on now. If somebody doesn't know, I'll grace them and help them. But when you know better how to put clothes on your body, you need to do so right. I'm not a clothesline preacher, but I am a preacher of heart and conviction and character. You ought to know that don't look right on you, honey. Mister, if you need butter to get it on, get it off. Butter belongs in cooking. Butter belongs on bread. It don't belong on your hips. I'm talking to men too. I'm not even going to say it. That's what we are. We are the rainbow church. We're a speckled bird. Anything goes. We know the man is as crooked as can be in the community. We know he's robbing everybody in town. But because he gives good money, we put him on the board. And we allow him to be a part of the process of church government and an administration. And you can't even screw him in the ground. He's so crooked. But because he's so-and-so, because he's got a title or she has a title or they own this or they own that, well, we just need to do it because we're a speckled bird. There ain't no speckled bird here. You may think I'm a buzzard, but I'm going to tell you right now, we ain't going to have no speckled bird. We're going to have diversity of who we all are. We've all been lost, and now we're found. We were broken, but now we're made whole. All those things are important, and we receive everybody into the house of God. This is a hospital. It's an international hospital. But the reality is, from this administration, from the front, from the head, you're going to get gospel truth and the power of God. Man, I'll tell you right now, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Because I see the nation and I see the churches and my heart breaks when I recognize and I realize what God is saying. He said, you're speckled. You're contaminated. And then we wonder, well, why would God write Ichabod on the church? Isn't he a loving God? He is a loving God. But sometimes the puke gets so bad, he's got to get out of the way of the stench. I'm hitting a wall. I know it because there's this normalcy bias. It's a big green glob in America, man. It's like punching the Jello man. You know, it's just coming against this reality and this deception that people have, and they can't believe. They say, "Oh well, no, man, that can't be happening." It's happening in pulpits across America. It's happening in our community right now. People are shuffling out of church right now. They're not changed. They're not challenged. They didn't hear a word from God. They didn't hear any conviction, and they're headed to the buffet to feed that flesh of yours. My God, America needs a diet. We need a diet. We need a diet of the junk food called church. Been preaching a bunch of junk. Are you ready for me to preach? I can't even get my tongue to keep up with my spirit, man. Because I'm telling you something, we're not going to have revival with a magic wand. We're not going to have revival because I call somebody in here with slick hair and shiny shoes and a Bible, and they're going to lay hands on us and put a little oil on us and everything. All of a sudden, we're going to metamorphosize into a great reformation. It's not going to happen until we begin to realize that we have come against God, that we rage against Him. We rage against Him how we raise our children. We rage against Him constantly in our attitudes towards heaven. Well, I'm not going to raise my child like that. I'm going to do it like I want to do. Yeah, and that's why we got the problems we have in America today. Are you in verse 9? Mine heritage unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come, you assemble all the beasts of the field and come to devour. Son, that's going to happen to the Church of America. The Church of America, the Babylonian backslidden pagan church, it will be devoured. I've seen it. I've seen in a vision. I've seen mega churches burn to the ground because of the chaos coming to America, and people will come knocking on the door asking for food and asking for help, and they won't have it, and they will burn it to the ground. You don't think so? You need to go back and look at some past riots, recent riots, and see that houses of God have been burned. But ain't nothing compared to what's coming. Hang on, I'm fixing to hit you and get out of your way. Verse 10. Many. Oh, no, it's just a few. Many. No, it's those guys that go to that one church. Many. Pastors have destroyed my vineyard. The word destroy there means to corrupt and to decay it. My vineyard. How do you corrupt and how do you decay a vineyard? You don't properly take care of it. You don't give it the right nutrients. You don't go in there and hack out the weeds and drive out the beasts and drive out the pests. Oh, now I'm really going to be a shepherd now. No, we have too many preachers who are pansies behind the pulpit wanting to please everybody and allow sin and hell to be all through the church instead of speaking to it in love and saying, it ain't happening here, not on my watch. I'm not talking about beating somebody up over the head with the Bible, though that's probably pretty good, but I'm talking about dealing with sin and love. And if you're preaching truth, if you're constantly preaching, you're constantly weeding and weeding on Wednesday nights by giving truth, you won't have the craziness of doctrines running around in your church. You won't have people wanting to have seances, I mean prayer meetings, and all kinds of witchcraft going in. Well, we really need to gather together and pray for the pastor. Mm-hmm. Don't you try to put nothing on me. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to come back and hit you like a boomerang. I'm about to pull an MC Hammer on you. Don't touch this. Is anybody here? But you know it's the truth. Just about the time they're going to try to split a church, we need to pray. We're going to invite the pastor? No, this is a private prayer meeting. How many of y'all been there? I've been there. I've been invited to those. I'm like, I ain't going with you, you bunch of witches. Watch this now. I'm going to sneak up on your house anyway. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They've decayed them. They've trodden down my portion under the foot. They've made my pleasure portion a desolate wilderness. In other words, the preachers of the hour have not taken care of the house of God. And you take care of it by loving people, by preaching the hard messages, saying things you don't want to say, and teaching things to make you change. And to challenge you, we don't have that too much in America today. I'm not saying we're an island unto ourselves. That's crazy. There's so many great churches out there and great men and women of God. But the reality is the nation is in the condition it is because of our pastors. Judgment begins where? At the house of God. Verse 11, they have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. Do you hear that? The earth is desolate. The earth is mourning. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite scriptures. I preach it all the time. It talks about revival. The earth is groaning. waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The earth is convulsing. The earth is tired of the sickness and the sin and the disease and malady of unrighteousness and iniquity. So it made it desolate. Watch this. Because no man layeth it to heart. I got to preach this here, and I'm going to get out of your way. Why? Why, Mr. Preacher, are we seeing terrorism in the world? Why, Mr. Preacher, are we seeing craziness in the weather patterns? Why, Mr. Preacher, are we already seeing the summer storms that you and others have prophesied? Why are we seeing this convulsion within our nations and the craziness that's going on in the circus called the White House and the circus called the Congress and the circus of political craziness? Why are we seeing all this? If you've been following me on Facebook, and I could have put up a plethora full of more articles of what's taking place in the summer storms, and we ain't even in summer yet, of the craziness that's taking place worldwide, where nations are rising against nations. We're watching the craziness of war begin to raise its ugly head. But yet we still have preachers in denial who won't even touch this message this Sunday morning. In fact, they've already left. And here is the reason. Say, why? Why is all this taking place? Look back at verse 11. I want to hit this hard. Because no man layeth it to heart. In other words, I'm going to give you the Ben Faircloth translation. Are you ready? Nobody gives a rip. He said it's been in decay. It's desolate. It mourneth. And here's the reason. Nobody brought it to heart. Nobody cares about it. Nobody gives a rip about it. Nobody wants to pray against it. Nobody wants to fast. Nobody wants to speak against it. Nobody wants to preach and tell the nations of the world that they're in sin. Nobody wants to hold our politicians' feet to the fire for their commitments they made in the campaign that deal with Christianity or even the confession of Christianity. And I'm not just talking about the president, I'm talking about everybody involved that gets up there and says, God bless America, and kisses every baby in the campaign trail. No one's laid it to heart. God says, this is the reason, Jeremiah. I see and I hear your complaint. But buddy, let me explain something to you. This is the reason, young man, we can't find anybody to lay it heart. We can't find churches that would groan and say, God, help us. We're living in a wicked world, folks. It's insanity when you walk out of this building. Just the other day, it was reported that on an air flight, wasn't in this country, but it's worldwide, so it deals with the sin of humanity. But instead of having the mile high club inside a secluded part of the airplane, they had it right in front of everybody. Now, if you don't know what that means, I'm not going to go any further because the people are in the building right now. Does anybody know what? Just nod at me if you understand what the mile high club is. Right in front of everybody. Doesn't that piss you off? What other word do I use? I can't get a reaction out of the church. It's in the Bible, by the way, about pissing. So if you get mad about that, just turn me off. It's in the Bible. There's a lot of stuff in this Bible. You'll be surprised if you just read it. I couldn't believe it. And they videotaped it. And everybody was giggling and smiling on the airplane. One, you ain't going on. Somebody asked me what airline. I said, you ain't going on that one. I guarantee you. It was Babylonian Airways. BAA or whatever. But doesn't that just turn your stomach? And there were children in the area. And doesn't it just make you want to weep and say, my God, what's happened to this world? You can't even fly in an airplane without somebody doing something so crazy and sickening as that. I don't know what I would have did in my flesh. I really don't. I don't know. I know they wouldn't have kept doing it.
Well, I don't want to bother. I don't want to get involved in that. I just
with one eye looking. You know it's the truth. And then he gives me this scripture today, and I can relate to Jeremiah, because when I'm seeing this article, I'm like, oh my God, what's next? Then I read in an article in Atlanta, Georgia. Man, I hate this because we got so many, we got a mixed crowd, but the reality is, decent exposure, I'll just tell you that. Right there in the park, man and a woman. Hello, folks. Sodom and Gomorrah. If God judged them, if Jesus said it would be like that, it would be like time of Noah and the time of Lot. If he said it would be like that in the end days, and these things are popping up everywhere and you're seeing it take place. Hello, it's the reality of our hour. It's global warming. We're getting hotter, and it's going to get worse in the days to come. I don't know how anybody could ride the fantasy train with this reality in your face. I will not be deceived. I will not be led astray on some candy cane trail, hopping around to some fake fantasy promised land. Can y'all stand me about another 20 minutes? Some of y'all's dentures just fell out. Watch this. I'm telling you. I shouldn't just say anything, Elder. I just keep preaching. But y'all got phone apps. Thinking he going to shut up any minute. And I ain't shutting up. Watch this. I got to get this out. Be patient. Boxcast goes off in around 15 minutes. Give me 15 minutes. Can you do that? The Baptists have just left Shoney's. The Lutheran have been gone for an hour, and the Catholics didn't even go this morning. I love all y'all. Watch this. Made a desolation. Couldn't find no one to take it at heart. He said, that's why it took place. Couldn't find nobody to care about it. Couldn't find no preacher to stand up and say something to the community. The spoilers have come upon all high places through the wilderness for the sword of the Lord. Whose sword? For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land, and no flesh shall have peace. He said, this is the reason why you're going to have war on your own soil and civil war, because you didn't take it to heart. The fastest growing religion in the world today is not Christianity, it is Islam. Let me repeat that in case you didn't hear it because you were thinking about lunch. The fastest growing religion in the world is not Christianity, but it is Islam. That ought to break your heart. That ought to cause all denominations to gather together for one big giant powwow of prayer and say, God help us. Because we don't send missionaries like we used to. More money is spent on dog food in America than it is in world missions. The fastest growing religion in America is not Christianity, it's Mormonism. Look it up. You can find all the statistics I just gave to you. You know why? Because we're too busy putting all of our religious and political opinions on Facebook. And our Christian comments and our Christian slander of brothers and sisters, so everybody can see how dumb we really are. When those types of cults and those types of ideologies are going door to door, while we're Facebooking it, they knocking on the door. And going to people who don't know nothing about the Bible. And talking about family and life and wholesome things. Things that people really want to hear about. and they're being brought in and drawn in while we sit at church looking good. Is anybody with me? It's because nobody laid it to heart. We don't care. We don't care that this is taking place around our neighborhoods. We don't care it's taking place in our schools because we're doing fine and we just built a new building, so on and so forth. Verse 13, and they've sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. Let me tell you something. There's a financial collapse coming to America one day. I don't know when, but it's coming. And we think that we're sowing wheat. We think that we're sowing into our futures, our 401ks, our retirements. We think we're sowing into the stock market and all these future hopes of man. But it's going to be thorns. You better put your seed into the kingdom of God and you'll trust in him because it's coming. Watch this. I'm out of your way. And they put themselves to pain but shall not profit. And they shall be ashamed of the revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. The staff of bread will be broken in America. That represents our money. Why? Because we didn't lay it to heart. I remember in 2008, I was, how can I put this right? I was circumnavigating with certain higher echelons of various mega ministries. And I remember whenever the financial collapse came. Remember that? 2008, financial troubles. How many of y'all got messed up in that? I did. And I remember going to these conferences and being around these big guys, and all you would hear was this mantra called how to survive in tough times. How to make it. When all these things were taking place. And the reality is this, it was only used to cause those ships to keep sailing and to keep those who had a little bit of income pumping into these ministries, because we stand here at 2017 and we haven't learned anything in the financial world from 2008 and we haven't learned anything in the church world. We're still living as though we have eternity. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out that I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. Aren't you glad that God is a good God? And it shall come to pass if they will diligently, please underline if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth as they taught my people to swear to Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. In other words, if you would live for God the way you live for the devil, you'll see revival. Let me try that one more time. If the Church of Jesus Christ was really serious about revival, the way we're living towards the world today, if we would flip it and use that same energy, then you're in the midst of revival. But as far as I can see, it ain't happening at this particular moment. I close with verse 17. If they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. The covenants of God are conditional. They swing open on the hinges of if my people, if you obey. Church, I leave you with this understanding. The verdict is in against this nation. We're a nation that has turned its back against God. When we openly have nakedness on airline flights, in public parks, the New York Times or New York's Times Square having nudity all over it, I was just told before I came in the service. McDonald's celebrating the gay pride, allowing fry boxes to be colored in the rainbow color. And yet some of you will put your money into them I haven't put my money into them in a long time because of their stance. That's up to you. But I'm not going to rage against God. I'm not in a fight with God. I want to be on his side. Amen. Global warming. It's coming because of our sin. Heavenly Father, deliver the message that you gave to me. I love everybody. I pray for salvation across the land. I pray for people to repent of their sins. But Lord, I pray for the church to wake up, for pastors to get a backbone and say something. Say it in love. Lord, I know it's abrasive, and I know it doesn't set well. But Father, it has to be said because it's your word. And I pray for revival to come, reformation to come, restoration to come, and a great awakening that will come through the great shaking of this nation and the world. Bless us, Father God, as we bless others. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey,